This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, an Islamic cleric in Cleveland, the leader of the largest mosque in the state, goes on trial accused of concealing terror connections. First, though, this Saturday is the 10th anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Nicole's estranged husband, O.J. Simpson, was tried for the killings and acquitted in a case that fascinated the nation and much of the world. No one else was ever charged. Slate and Day to Day legal analyst Dahlia Lithwick joins us to talk about the lasting impact the O.J. Simpson trial has had on the way high-profile trials are conducted. Hello, Dahlia. You know, this live gavel-to-gavel coverage of the proceedings every day really riveted the country, and it seems to have launched an ongoing obsession with celebrity trials.
Well, yes and no, Alex. I mean, I think some folks mistakenly credit the O.J. trial with sort of starting the public obsession with big celebrity trials. And I think that's not true. I think as long as there have been big famous trials in this country, there has been rapt public attention. And in fact, one of the biggest trials of this century, the trial of Bruno Hauptmann, who was tried for kidnapping and killing the Lindbergh baby, it was said at the time, and this was in the 1930s, that trial was covered by more reporters than all of World War I. This has been going on for a long, long time. I think the difference with the O.J. trial was just about the penetration of the media. I think the shift was the media wasn't just watching the trial anymore. They were sort of influencing the trial. People were playing to the cameras. People became celebrities ever after. And I think leaks to the media became a trial tactic. So I think that's how it changed. Not so much that the public was never interested. The public just never had access like that.
But I do think that the O.J. Simpson trial kind of changed the way we think about the law and trials in some ways. Let's start with judges. What did judges learn from the trial?
Whew. Well, I think principally judges learned to try to keep television cameras out of the courtroom. Judge Ito's 9-month experiment with gavel-to-gavel coverage just terrified the rest of the bench. And I think really judges learned to put limits on trial. 9 months is just too long. This trial involved, you know, 36 lawyers, 50,000 pages of trial testimony. Half of the jury that was originally impaneled left and were replaced by alternates. The whole thing was so completely out of control. I think keeping television cameras out of the courtroom and keeping things small and tight and keeping jurors happy became a real lesson after the trial.
And what about for prosecutors?
Well, prosecutors really learned not to screw up. I think they learned, you know, find out for sure that glove fits before you have your defendant put it on. They learned, I think, you know, that they need to know if one of their cops who's going to be their star witness is a racist. They need to know crucial things that they just didn't know going in. And perhaps most importantly, I think they learned that, you know, race matters, that venue really matters. This was a case that could have been filed in Santa Monica. Instead, they filed it in downtown Los Angeles. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, because race mattered, that was a critically bad decision.
And then you have the defense lawyers. O.J. Simpson's attorney, Johnny Cochran, he certainly became the most noted of his several defense attorneys, especially when there were moments like this in his closing argument.
Do the right thing, remembering that if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
He's referring to the infamous glove, of course. So do defense lawyers study this trial now for tips on how to get their clients off?
Well, I think defense lawyers learned a lot about having a sort of a narrative that really plays to the jury. And that narrative of, you know, police misconduct planting evidence really worked with the O.J. jury. And I think the other lasting impact for defense lawyers is that, you know, what used to be seen as incontrovertible blood and DNA evidence is no longer incontrovertible. Places like the Innocence Project that Barry Scheck, who was involved in the O.J. trial, you know, have gone on to exonerate countless defendants because labs screw up.
And, of course, there is another enduring lesson from the O.J. trial, and that is that race remains one of the great dividers in the nation.
I think that's right, Alex. I mean, I think that, you know, it's not an accident that the majority of African Americans think that O.J. was innocent and the majority of whites in this country think that O.J. was guilty. There is a huge race gap in the perception of what happened in that trial. I think it's that narrative we were talking about, the narrative in this case that ultimately got him acquitted, is that blacks really believe still that a black man cannot get a fair trial in white America.
Opinion and analysis from Dahlia Lithwick. She writes the jurisprudence column for Slate, and she's legal contributor to Day to Day. Dahlia, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me.